You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. 40 years ago, the Sacramento Kings tipped off their first season in the capital city. And in the decades since, the team has seen its share of highs, like the greatest show on court in the early 2000s and the Beam team returning to the playoffs in 2023, as well as its lows, like the longest playoff drought in NBA history. Tomorrow, the Kings kick off their 2025-2026 regular season on the road with big changes on the roster and coaching staff. But what could this latest season have in store, especially as Sacramento is focusing on becoming a sports town? Joining us now is ABC 10 sports reporter Matt George, who also hosts the Locked On Kings podcast. Welcome back, Matt.
Pleasure to talk to you. Let's see if this season goes better than the last time we talked.
Yeah, well, let's take a trip down memory lane. What does it mean to mark 40 years of NBA basketball in Sacramento?
I mean, it's unspeakable, the love relationship between this city and the lone professional sports franchise, or at least it was for many, many years. And of course, the Sacramento Republic FC are here doing amazing things with building their new downtown Rail Yards Stadium, and then everything that's going on with the A's in West Sacramento. But it began with the Sacramento Kings in so many ways, from Arco One and like that tiny little barn that the Kings fans sold out despite the team not being very good for years when they moved here, to now the gorgeous Golden One Center in the heart of downtown Sacramento that's really revitalized that area. And through it all, through the 40 years, there's just been a fan base that almost to a fault is starved for success, but also just obsessed with this team and has such a tight-knit relationship with this franchise. That's why you hear so many players come through Sacramento and talk about the fan base and talk about playing in front of this crowd. There's a number of active NBA players that say Sacramento is one of their favorite cities to play, including superstar for the Minnesota Timberwolves, Anthony Edwards. He says he loves playing here because of the energy and because of the crowd. And the amount of former players that have come through Sacramento and ended up putting their roots deep in here, from Chris Webber back in the day, having a restaurant in this area, to Doug Christie is back as a coach, and he's been around for a while, and you'll see former players at games. Mike Bibby is back coaching Sac State basketball. Bobby Jackson is back on Doug Christie's staff. So it's such a unique basketball and sports community that really draws people in. You can't help but be romantic about it.
So it has been a couple years since the Kings made it back to the playoffs. As we tip off a new season tomorrow on the road, there's been a lot of changes when it comes to players and coaches in that time. What is the identity of the Kings now?
That is a phenomenal question that I don't have the answer to, and I don't think the Sacramento Kings have the answer to yet. But what's interesting is that is what this season is all about. According to new general manager Scott Perry, who was hired over the summertime, and Doug Christie, now the full-time head coach after being the interim head coach last year, this season is about establishing an identity and establishing a culture. Now, we know through their words how they want to play. They want to be a team that picks up 94 feet, which is defending the full length of the floor. It's also a term used to describe playing with 100% effort. They're a team that wants to punch first, not wait to get punched. They're a team that wants to embrace physicality and speed and just play hard every single night, and it begins on the defensive end of the floor. But when you look at this roster and the names on this roster and the talent of this roster, it typically skews more offense, and not all of these guys are known for playing the way that Doug Christie and Scott Perry want to play. So there's the words of what they want to be, and then we'll see the actions of what they end up being.
You mentioned that this will be the Sacramento Kings' first full season with Doug Christie as the head coach. I mean, he reportedly signed a low-paying salary compared to his peers. What does that say about the Kings' belief and support in him?
Yeah, there's two ways to look at that. And I'll be honest with you, from my perspective, it makes me a little nervous. I think being a Sacramentan, and Sacramento fans naturally have a tremendous rooting interest in Doug Christie, not just because he's the head coach of the Kings and his success is the Kings' success, but because of Doug's history here in Sacramento and how passionate he is about this city. He talks about unfinished business here. He's back because he wants to accomplish something that he wasn't able to accomplish as a player, which is win a championship and bring a championship to Sacramento. Sacramento. So already there's so many people in Christie's corner just because of his history here. But this is a prove-it contract in many ways. He's being paid $2 million a year over the next 2 years, which is on the low end. I wouldn't be surprised if it was the lowest salary in the NBA. The third year is a team option, meaning the Sacramento Kings can decide to exercise it and bring him back. And that third year is for significantly more money. But the reason why this makes me nervous is I think it goes beyond just a simple prove-it contract. Because over the next 2 years, the Kings have some older players like DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine, whose contracts will run out. And they are high money players that kind of limit what the Sacramento Kings can do in the trade market and free agency because of how much cap space they take up. And there's a question whether or not you can be successful with those two guys in Sacramento. So it does feel like the Kings in a way are hedging their bet to where over the next 2 years, if it doesn't go well, when those two guys come off the books, Scott Perry can start fresh with more money and a new head coach. But I personally believe if you're trying to build an identity and a culture in Sacramento, you can't do that by recycling head coaches as much as the Kings have over the last 20 years.
And the home opener is at Golden One Center this Friday against Utah. You mentioned that Sacramento Kings fans are loyal and devoted. They ride out those peaks and valleys for the team over the last 40 years. What kind of atmosphere are you expecting on Friday?
Yeah, if there's anything consistent with this organization, it's fan support. And I mean, the Golden One Center is going to be popping. It's going to be sold out. I don't know how long that will carry through the season if the Kings are struggling as much as some expect them to, although this team has the potential of being very entertaining as well with the addition of Russell Westbrook, who's a first ballot Hall of Famer. You have DeMar DeRozan, who's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Zach LaVine can put on a show offensively. So I think there's going to be more than enough reason for Kings fans to tune in and watch, but maybe they're going to enter the building with less of a hope, excitement for the future, and more of like a cautious optimism. But I imagine the place is going to be great. It's going to be sold out. The Golden One Center always is. And then that starts a very busy opening weekend because you got the Utah Jazz on Friday for the home opener. Then you got Luka Doncic and the Los Angeles Lakers coming in on Sunday. And we know very well when the Lakers come to town, it's always a big rivalry game.
You touched upon this, and we discussed this at length earlier this week for the Mayor's State of the City address. I mean, there's a lot of movement and energy and development around sports in Sacramento, from the city declaring itself MLB ready, and that's really more broadly for the region since the A's are in West Sacramento, to Sacramento State, football, Sac Republic's new stadium, and also trying to get into the MLS. How does the Kings' legacy fit into this evolving picture of Sacramento as a sports town?
Yeah, I'd like to say Sacramento is going through a bit of a sports renaissance right now. They're just being very aggressive for this opportunity that has opened up in front of them. And I think if the Kings can claim credit for anything, it's for being the first one to really ignite this fan base. It's the passion of the city. It's the noise of the fans. When the Kings made the playoffs with Beam Team One a handful of years ago, and the Golden State Warriors came to town for that playoff series, the world was watching the city go absolutely crazy, not just the 18,000 people that piled into the Golden One Center, but the thousands of people that stood out in Doko shoulder to shoulder. There was no room to walk watching the game outside and feeling that energy. And there's a reason why when you look at the national TV schedule for NBA games every single year, the majority of the national TV games that the Kings have are in Sacramento because the league wants to showcase this fan base. And I think that's what other sports teams and franchises have paid attention to. And you can even talk about like the Sacramento Republic FC when they were first born and they played their first game at Sac City College at Hughes Stadium, sold that place out, and the attention that that drew, not just of the USL, but the MLS. So it's very much the Kings started almost a Sacramento fan base revolution, and that has carried through these 40 years to where other leagues and franchises have taken notice, and they want a piece of that pie.
Matt, as always, thanks for stopping by.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Matt George is a sports reporter for ABC 10 and the host of the Locked On Kings podcast. We've been getting a little teaser of the team's upcoming season, which tips off tomorrow as the Kings mark 40 years in Sacramento. Still ahead, a spooktacular cabaret is headed your way. The Rogue Music Project goes toxic, and we'll hear why. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.